This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
I don't know if any of you remember an author who simply went by one name. Her name was Glaffery. Glaffery, I think the correct way of pronouncing it, her name was spelled G-L-A-P-H-R-E, Glaffery. She wrote some powerful books, one book that I still have in my library called When the Pieces Don't Fit, that she died in 2005. She had physical deformity, she had physical illness. She describes her own life as a mess, just one turmoil after another, one crisis after another, until she met Jesus Christ. It's a powerful testimony. But here's what I want to share with you about Jesus being the blessing. She said how we can be a blessing to other people no matter what your occupation. You don't have to be in the ministry. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be in a medical profession to bless people. Here's what she said. Are you a real estate agent? As God directs, you could share with clients the one with a capital O who makes the house a home. Do you do babysitting? Did you ever stop to think that you could pray for the children you are watching and involve them in projects of kindness? Do you ever make deliveries in your job? Did you ever stop to think that the Lord could use you to pray for the people you deliver to as you go up to a business, as you go up to a house? You can say, Lord, I pray a blessing upon this business, upon this home. Maybe a new way of thinking about your work. Do any of you coach? You can pray for your team. Ask God to teach them the most important victory in life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are any of you teachers? Have you ever thought about being involved in praying for your students? Are you a husband or are you a wife? You don't have to rely on books or the world's trends to know what kind of mate you should be. You can actually seek God's counsel in your marriage. Just a side note here, there are about 5,000 books on the market today on, you know, how to be a good husband, be a good mate. 5,000 books. Most of the people who read those books would never think to say, Lord, could you help me be a better husband or a better wife? Lord, is there anything that you could reveal to my spirit that would make me a more loving husband, a more loving wife? Is there something that needs to come away from my life? And those people will buy the books, will lay down the money at Barnes & Noble, and not approach the throne of grace, the throne of God. Are you a parent? She says you could believe in your children's need to know God's love, and you could believe in your child's potential. You could be their faithful prayer supporter. You could be their intercessor regardless of their age. Support your children with your prayers. And then the last page of her book, When the Pieces Don't Fit, says this: I want people to know that there is a God who heals, a God who forgives, and a God who has a dream with your name on it. I love that. I want you people to know there is a God. He heals, he forgives, and he has a dream with your name on it. As a parent, you have tremendous power with what's called giving your children a blessing. As a husband, you have tremendous power with your wife in giving her the blessing. As a wife, being a blessing to your husband and giving him the blessing. The official religious definition of the word blessing is an authoritative pronouncement of God's favor on a person. I don't use that definition. I'll tell you what blessing is. It's affirming in people's lives the things that really matter. You want to be a blessing to your children? You affirm them in the three things that Paul said in Corinthians are the three great lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. All this week, the message is called Jesus is the Blessing from Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about how you can be a blessing to your spouse, to your children. As God blesses your life, you can be a blessing. Our website is crosshope.org. And we're going to read in the book of Hebrews today, who by faith bless their children and, get this, bless their grandchildren. I want to talk to you today about being a blessing to the people who are the most important people in your lives. If you're a parent, your children and your wife, your husband. I'm convinced that we want to affirm people in a lot of things that are great, but they're not the most important things. There are a lot of parents that want to affirm their children in their athletic ability. Practice. Practice. I want you to be a good ball player. I want you to learn how to handle the ball. I want you to know how to throw that pass. I want you to know how to kick that ball in soccer. And we affirm our children in athletic prowess. Nothing wrong with that. We affirm children educationally. Get a good education. Why? So you can get a good job and make good money. We affirm them medically in their health. We affirm them in a lot of ways, and yet Christian parents, never occurs to them to affirm their children in faith, hope, and love, in the three things that the Apostle Paul said were the three great lasting qualities. Let's bring up verse 20 again. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons, in regard to their future. You may have never heard this before, but when you bless your children and affirm them in their faith, hope, and love, you reach into their future. You actually do something that impacts their future life, and it never occurs to people like you and me to do that, that we impact their future. I'm going to tell you a story, a personal story today, and I'm telling you the truth. Annie can verify this. I've never told this before. In any church I've been, I've never shared this until now. In fact, this week I've gone back and forth saying I'm going to share it, and then I said, no, I'm not going to share it. It's just some people think, we may think it's a little over the top. But I'm going to tell you the story because it relates to this passage. When I was 14 or 15 years old, Hammond, Indiana, near Chicago, my dad was having one of those fatherly chats with me about my future. And out of the blue, and there was no context for this, nothing in the conversation that had anything to do with this, my dad said, you know, I can see the Lord using you in different ways in the ministry, and if you go in the ministry. And then he said, out of the blue, he said, I can see the Lord using you in a radio ministry. And I remember thinking, well, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of at 14 or 15. Why would I be on the radio? And yet, number of years later, come with me, some years later, when the opportunity presented itself for the first time, I said, no, I'm not interested. Don't want to waste my time with that. And for a year, this person with a radio station in Columbus literally bugged me for a year. And I finally said, okay, we'll try it for 3 months. And everywhere I've been, the radio ministry, in a sense, has found me. I didn't look for it. It found me. And so what I tell all of that to bring you back to when I was 14 or 15, to my dad sitting in the car saying, I think God could maybe use you in a radio ministry. Here's what I'm saying. He spoke some words there in the car that I thought were stupid. But is it possible he was speaking some things that God prompted him to say? Is it possible the Lord prompted him to say that, to speak that blessing, to affirm that? Because you know what a lot of parents say? You'll never make it. You'll never graduate from school. You'll never get a good job. You're never going to do this. And some of you, that resonates with you because you grew under those types of blessings and affirmations, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's tremendous power in a parent speaking over a son or daughter in regard to their future. Why? Because that's what the word says. Isaac blessed his sons in regard to the future. Well, we'll continue this message from Hebrews 11:20 and following tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, again, is crosshope.org. Let's bring up the next verse, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons, his grandsons, and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. I'm convinced that grandparents have a unique opportunity of blessing with those people that are called grandchildren. I really believe that, that a grandparent has a unique opportunity that mom and dad don't have to be a blessing and to speak a blessing. And I want to tell you today that you have the authority of God, not my authority, but the authority of God as a grandparent to speak blessing, to speak authoritatively upon God's favor upon a grandson or granddaughter. You have that God-given authority to do that. You don't have to be ordained to do that. You have to be a believer in Jesus Christ who happens, and you believe that God has power to work in people's lives. That's the criteria in my mind. You know, the older you get, spiritual reality will become more visible to you. There's a passage in here that talks about seeing the invisible. I remember telling you a story about a grandfather and grandson sitting on a dock fishing by a lake. The grandson, 6-7 years of age, asking his grandfather one question after another. How does lightning come about? Where does thunder come from? All the things that maybe a grandson would ask a grandfather. And then right out of the blue, the grandson asked this question, "Grandpa, does anyone ever see God? Grandpa, does anyone ever see God?" And I love the answer this grandfather gave his grandson. He said, "Son, it's getting to the place where I don't see anything else. It's getting to the place where I don't see anything else. The older you get, the more you see the invisible." That's what it means in this passage, that Moses was able to see the invisible. He was able to see the hand of God in ways that he didn't see as a younger man. He was able to see the invisible. Twice in this passage, I'm not going to call up the verses, but twice in this passage, I find this intriguing. There's a phrase that said that people were not afraid of the king's anger. Moses' parents and Moses himself were not afraid of the king's wrath. Whose wrath or anger are you afraid of? Ever thought about that? I know people who have told me over the years, I mean, just generically, well, I've learned that I don't go crossways with him or her because all hell breaks loose. I've learned I just don't make them mad. And they live in fear of that person's anger. And people use anger to justify bad behavior, number one. Have you ever noticed that people use anger to justify bad behavior? Well, I've got an excuse. I was just so mad, and that's the reason I went haywire. I was angry, so therefore you should accept that. That's justification for what I did based on my anger. And we all do that. You've done that, and so have I. But also, we use anger to control people. Does anybody use anger to control you? And do you use anger to control anybody's life, and they, you know that they're afraid of your anger? And I find it interesting psychologically that twice in this passage, Moses' parents and Moses did not fear the king's wrath or the king's anger. They weren't controlled by it, is what that means. Let's read about Moses again. Verse 24, if we could bring up 24. "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For a short time, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." Now then, today, part four of a message we began on Monday from the Hebrews series. The series title is Jesus Is. Today's title, or this week's title, is The Blessing. Jesus is the blessing in your life. And that's what we talk about all this week, how we speak blessing upon our children and grandchildren. Today we talk specifically about Hebrews 11:27, that says, "By faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." Let that verse speak to you right now as we talk about it on part four of Cross Hope today. God bless you, and thanks for listening. I want to say this, that you need to see the invisible for your son or daughter if you're a parent. You need to see the invisible for a grandson or granddaughter. You need to see the invisible in your marriage. What does that mean? You see the spiritual. You see that there's spiritual warfare going on in your family, and it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against what Paul said, our principalities and powers in high places, which is phraseology we don't use. It means there's spiritual warfare in this world, and we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. It involves your family. It involves your marriage. It involves this church. It involves this community. It involves this state. It involves this country. It involves this world. There is spiritual warfare going on. And we've got to be able to see the invisible. I really believe that's powerfully true. I quoted Dr. Steve Hooks recently. He tells about a person who was a hero in his life. All of us have heroes in the faith, people that we look up to. And Steve talks about a woman named Lois. He said, "My hero is a woman named Lois. As people are commonly measured, she achieved little and accumulated even less. She only went as far as the 10th grade in school. She worked most of her life as a clerk in a grocery store. When she died, her estate consisted of a small mobile home, some dishes, a photo album, and a 1957 Rambler. I can't even remember what a 1957 Rambler looks like. Her entire life was spent putting other people first and doing the things nobody else wanted to do. She was without a doubt the best person I ever knew. What a tribute to a friend named Lois. He said she died of cancer, inoperable cancer, when he was early in the ministry. And he said for a while after her death, I even lost my will to keep on going on in the ministry. He said, I considered dropping out altogether. But one of the coaches, quote unquote, of my fallen hero interrupted my self-pity one day with the most effective pep talk I ever received. He said, Steve, you know that your mother, Lois, took great joy in your work for the Lord. You know that your mother, Lois, took great joy in your work for the Lord, and so she did. And so I kept on keeping on because of the faith of my mother, Lois. My question I want to ask you, can anyone point to you and say you were their hero in the faith because you were a blessing to them and your faith impacted them in such a way when they thought about giving up and throwing in the towel, they said, I'm not because of him or because of her. Well, that's a thought-provoking question. Is there someone on the planet that would point to you and say you're their hero in the faith? That's quite a tribute to somebody. Would somebody look up to you in such a way that you've been such an example of a believer, such an example of a man or woman of faith that they look to you as their spiritual hero? We're going to conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope with a powerful story. I hope you'll listen. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thank you for listening each day to a program we call Cross Hope. I want to close with this story. It grabbed a lot of people's hearts. It's not original with me. It's from Max Lucado. He talks about the earthquake of 1989 that hit Armenia. Some of you, if you reach back into your memory, will remember it. 4 minutes long, 30,000 people lost their lives in 4 minutes. It's just an incredible earthquake in Armenia, 1989. Moments after the deadly tremor ceased, a father raced to an elementary school to save his son. When he arrived, he saw that the building had been leveled. Looking at the mass of stones and rubble, he remembered a promise that he made to his son, no matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. He remembered a promise he made to his son, I'll always be there for you. Driven by that promise, he found the area closest to his son's room and began to pull back the debris. Other parents arrived and began sobbing for their children. It's too late, they told him. You know they're all dead. You can't help. Even a police officer encouraged him to give up. But this father refused. For 8 hours, then 16 hours, then 32 hours, then 36 hours, he dug. His hands were raw. His energy was gone. But he refused to quit. Finally, after 38 wrenching hours, he pulled back a large boulder and heard his son's voice. He called his boy's name, Arman, Arman, and a voice answered him, Dad, it's me. Dad, it's me. Then the boy added these priceless words, I told the other children not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved too. Because I told them you promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. I'll always be there for you. God forbid that any parent in this room would have to go through an experience like he did. And the chances are you won't or I won't. But will you have somebody in eternity that will say this, they were always there for me spiritually. They were my prayer warrior. They were the people that interceded on my behalf. And when other people would have given up on me, they didn't give up and they kept on praying. When other people would have said, it's no use, he's dead spiritually, she's dead spiritually, they're will be that parent say, no, I'm not going to give up. As long as I have life, I'm going to be the intercessor. As long as I have life, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to authoritatively pronounce God's favor upon that person. I'm going to reach into their future by blessing them. What's the message today on this Mother's Day? Decide to be a blessing. Jesus is the blessing. And the greatest blessing that you can bring into a person's life is to introduce them first and foremost to Jesus Christ, because he is the blessing. But you have the opportunity to do something very important, to affirm in people's lives the three things that matter: faith, hope, and love, Paul said. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today from the book of Hebrews. Thank you for the gift of blessing people, affirming with our mouths, speaking an authoritative pronouncement of your favor upon someone's life, affirming the great lasting qualities, faith, hope, and love in their lives, and reaching into a child's future. We don't get it sometimes, but we reach into our children's future by saying, God has a plan for your life. And son, I'm not sure what it is, but I know he's got a plan for your life. And daughter, he's got a plan for your life. And he's got things for you to do and people for you to see and to interact with and to be a blessing to. Affirm that in our hearts today on this Mother's Day as we honor every mother that's here today in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.